I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
We're investigating the Biden family influence peddling. I think you see with what we've learned about the Biden Center for Diplomacy, their major donor were anonymous donors from China. If you look at where Hunter Biden's money was coming from for his so-called investments, they were from anonymous donors in China. His artwork that he's selling in New York City, supposedly going to China, to anonymous buyers. I mean, there's a pattern here with the Bidens and China that's very concerning for national security. So I'm concerned about Biden's mishandling of classified documents, given the fact that China has so much access to this family. But I'm also concerned about an overall broader picture of potential corruption with Joe Biden and China.
Absolutely. This is January 13, 2023. You are hearing then Congressman James Comer, Republican of Kentucky. He's chair of the House Oversight Committee, and saying we want to know not just about these files, we want to know about the whole Biden family and possible criminal connections involving monies from communist China and other sources. Now, we all do want those answers. But if you listen to a New York Times Washington correspondent, Michael Schmidt, he says, you know, you guys, you Republicans, you're just overblowing this Hunter Biden deal.
So Republicans have made a range of allegations about Joe Biden and Hunter Biden's role in this. And what our reporting showed was that Joe Biden played no role in Hunter Biden's business. He was not Hunter Biden's business partner. He was Hunter Biden's father. Hunter Biden himself did go out and try to do deals with foreign governments or, you know, foreigners, and in did deals in ways that were risky and exposed him to political liability and political liability for his father. At the end of the day, the Justice Department has looked at a range of different allegations and accusations and deals that Hunter Biden did, and its concentration, where it believes it may have charges, are on tax and gun issues, as you said. And those issues are far smaller and narrower than what the Republicans allege and what they will be presenting in the coming months as they try and make the case that Joe Biden and Hunter Biden were basically operating a criminal entity together.
Well, of course, the gun charges are much smaller and narrow. But the bigger case, we're going to take the word of a New York Times correspondent, the New York Times, that did not even admit the Hunter laptop existed for almost 18 months, kept it concealed before the vote in 2020? No. Again, the New York Times correspondent, Michael Schmidt, says, it doesn't involve Joe. It's all about Hunter.
The story here, the story of Hunter Biden, is not a pretty story. Hunter Biden was trying to make as much money as he could to keep up with an expensive lifestyle in Washington, so he could send his kids to private school so he could support his family. In that process, he went out and tried to make as much money as possible and did deals in ways that raised questions among Biden's advisors about whether Hunter was trying to profit on his father's name and his proximity to power, at least the appearance of his proximity to power. And that's what's created these questions around, you know, this is what has given the Republicans a way to raise these questions, is because Joe Biden, this is his son, and he came and saw his son at different points, and there is a handshake here and a handshake there that Joe Biden may have made, but there's nothing that ties Joe Biden directly into Hunter's efforts to do business.
That is a New York Times correspondent saying that Joe Biden may have made in handshakes. There are pictures of the handshakes. And if you bring Papa Joe, who's vice president, to a meeting, you're bringing some heavy weight. And yet they want us to believe, oh, no. There's nothing really to see here. Move on. Well, all right, let's talk about the Biden documents, how they've suddenly been surfacing everywhere, even at the house in Delaware, which Hunter Biden himself owned after his dad left the vice president's office. He had access to the garage where some of those documents were. Did anyone else? And, of course, now we're hearing that some Democrats saying, well, you know, they may have all been planted. Yeah, by whom? And then, of course, you've got Senator Schumer of the majority in the Senate saying, look, despite what we're seeing with Biden and the documents, Trump was way, way worse. Well, Don Lemon Fruitcake. And again, I remind you, I call him that because he's nutty. I could care less about his sexual preference. But Don Lemon Fruitcake actually showed some news cojones this time.
According to one justice official, said that the White House public statements earlier this week offered an incomplete narrative about the classified documents from Biden's time as vice president, reinforced the need for a special counsel. The misleading statements created the impression that Biden's team had something to hide. That doesn't sound that much different than the former president.
Don, there's now a special prosecutor. Let's see what they have to say.
Yeah, earlier Schumer had said, we don't need politicians buzzing around. Schumer's always buzzing around, just like a vulture, like many of them are. But to his credit, and I've got to give Don Lemon credit, he kept pushing.
You seem much more measured about this than with the Trump documents, because you call for transparency with the Trump documents. You wanted lawmakers to have access to the documents seized from the former president, his residence in Florida, which it seems like you...
The bottom line is, I said that night, it's premature to comment on what should be done. And
President
I stick
Trump,
by that. Yes, for President Trump. That's exactly
so
right.
So you think that
That's
your statements are consistent for
I
both?
I sure do.
For both.
Yeah. He thinks he's consistent. Well, by the way, on that point, Jim Jordan's first investigation as chair of the House Judiciary Committee is going to examine Biden's mishandling of those classified documents. And also, coming up, the FBI, you thought I was going to say FBI, it's so similar, isn't it? Facebook was shutting down even factual information about COVID. Factual information for fear that the truth would be weaponized. And now there's a late development involving the CDC saying it's going to examine the safety of the vaccines. Now, we've got a lot to cover. A lot to cover over this next few minutes. I encourage you to stay with us. Let others know we're on the air. You do not want to miss this. Not a single minute. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You can text Larry right now at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. My guest is the managing editor for the Daily Signal and associate, obviously, with the Heritage Foundation as well, Tyler O'Neill. Tyler, glad to have you back on board, sir.
Glad to be here, Larry.
I'm looking at a piece that you wrote, and this is one of these things that you shake your head and say, my God, where would it stop if we did not know about it? It's titled, basically, not just misinformation and emails to the White House. Facebook admits suppressing often true content on COVID-19 vaccines, saying supposedly that if we didn't shut down some true content, we might spark folks coming up with something else or get them too riled up. You got to help me understand this.
Yeah, no, it's legitimately shocking. So, you know, you had all of these social media companies say, come out during the COVID pandemic, that they're going to suppress any misinformation that was leading people to the wrong conclusions about the virus and not keeping themselves safe. But in this particular case, you know, over and over they would say, oh, this is misinformation, because it contrasts with CDC guidelines or whatever. But, you know, here we actually have a Facebook executive or a Facebook staffer specifically saying that it wasn't just misinformation, that they suppressed quote-unquote often true content. And because the White House asked them to reduce the virality of vaccine hesitancy content.
That last phrase can be confusing. They wanted to reduce the word spreading, that there are true facts about COVID. Is that the way I understand it?
Yes, they wanted to reduce the virality of truth regarding the virus. So, just because social media terms, you know, you say something goes viral, which is a little bit ironic because we're talking about a virus. But in this case, you know, they're talking about making sure that content that might lead to vaccine hesitancy, even if it is true, can't spread very far on the platform. So the notion is to make sure that people can't see it, even though it's true.
I'm going to read from your article where you're quoting that same Facebook staffer saying, "This is often true content, which we allow at the post level because it's important for people to be able to discuss both their personal experiences and concerns about the vaccine, but it can be framed as sensational, alarmist, or shocking. We'll remove these groups, pages, and accounts when they're disproportionately promoting the sensationalized content," which was true.
They did take actions against people who would repeatedly, you know, share things that are often
their
true.
Their personal story.
And that is the really shocking thing about this, you know, is that when, you know, when people, and I was speaking to a former CDC manager a few days ago for a different story about YouTube censoring a video with vaccine, you know, mentioning the vaccine, saying that it was misinformation. But he was telling me that if you have an adverse reaction to one of the COVID-19 vaccines and you reported it to the CDC's system, to the VAERS, you know, vaccine adverse system or whatever it is, the reporting system, and you said that it was bad, what they would often do is they like to speak out of both sides of their mouth. Mm-hmm. So whenever there was a bad reaction noted in the system, they would kind of keep that to the side, and then whenever somebody asks, "Oh, is this safe?" they would say, "Oh yeah, nobody reported any negative things in the VAERS system." And then if you point out, you know, and then the interesting thing was if you push back on them, they'd say, "Oh no, well this isn't scientifically, you know, this isn't a scientific study."
No, wait. Now, wait a minute. I'm sorry. They want to go back to science, but I'm still not sure if it's real science or political science. You're listening to Tyler O'Neill, managing editor of the Daily Signal. And in fact, if they want to claim, I've told the audience before, I could just put on my Facebook account, "We're going to discuss how to spell COVID. I will get a warning posted. For real information about COVID, go to this source."
Yeah.
When Americans were telling their real stories of what was happening to them, they were just saying, "No, that's a First Amendment violation in itself, in addition to all the rest of this."
Yeah, well, the interesting point is, you know, the First Amendment applies to government specifically. So the question is, at what point does government suggesting to social media companies that they should be censoring people, at what point does that cross a line? Because many of these companies, you know, as we've been seeing from the Twitter files, they're meeting very frequently with the FBI, with other federal law enforcement agencies, and those federal law enforcement agencies were saying, "Hey, there might be something coming out about Hunter Biden in a little while. You should keep on high alert because we think it might be connected to Russian disinformation about the campaign." They were doing that before the 2020 election, and that was one of the main reasons why, even though Twitter didn't understand what happened, you know, like Twitter's executives couldn't come up with a good rationalization when they censored the New York Post and locked the New York Post out of its account for weeks. And it's just like they were following what they thought was the beck and call of the intelligence agencies. And yet, of course, the intelligence agencies can step back and say, oh, we were just recommending, we were just warning, we were just having these meetings, as if they weren't complicit in a scheme to camp down on.
What they were doing is exactly what's happening in China, only they weren't running out and arresting and locking them up, but they were certainly demonizing them. Now, you also point out that a lot of this information has ties to Missouri and what it was trying to do.
Yeah, no. So this, these documents came out because of a very important lawsuit that Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey filed. And this Missouri v. Biden case has brought up a lot of really important documents from the White House to social media companies, such as the email about often true content. But then there are other emails in which this White House guy, Flaherty, let's see, Rob Flaherty, who is director of digital strategy, he said he was concerned that YouTube is, quote, funneling people into hesitance and intensifying people's hesitancy by not, you know, and this is not his quote, but by not pushing down vaccine hesitancy content. And he said that this is a concern shared at the highest, and I mean highest, levels of the WH, i.e. White House.
The White House.
And then, yeah. So it's like, oh, yeah, well, President Biden wants you to do this.
Well, in fact, he's also the one who suggested that Facebook should take action, suppress Fox News host Tucker Carlson and Tommy Lahren, conservative journalist. So in other words, shut them down. Don't let them have this opportunity to spread more factual truth.
Make sure that their stories don't see the light of day. Make sure that if people are searching for the vaccine, they can't see content that goes against our narrative. You know, and I still, it's hard to make heads or tails of the full truth of all this stuff because there's been so much government interference and big tech censorship. I mean, if you Google the COVID vaccine today, you'll still see all the statements of, oh yeah, it's full, it's perfectly safe, it's all this stuff. And we know that there have been many adverse, you know, reactions reported, and there are budding scandals about the vaccine.
And this is the kind of thing.
And
the efficacy, certainly under question. I mean, how many times has Biden had a shot and our booster shots? And that's, I was redundant a moment ago on purpose, say factual truth. I mean, if it's a fact, it is a truth. If it's truth, it's a fact. But the bottom line is he has had numerous shots and boosters. And how many times has he had COVID? And they still want to say, you get the jab, you'll be safe. I'm watching an NCAA basketball game the other day, and Pfizer is all over it on the sponsorship. Go get the jab. Go get the jab.
Yeah.
I think they're using that marketing tool, and they're targeting people obviously watching the game, but it's not just on that game. There are other cases where they're constantly saying, you can be safe, you can go out. I remember some spots right before the holidays. Tell everybody you'll be able to be there. You can get the new jab. And we know it does not prevent necessarily transmission. We know it does not stop it. Otherwise, you got to constantly come up with more and more boosters. Now, they're claiming, well, it keeps evolving. I'd like to see them evolve or dissolve.
It does keep evolving, but, you know, ironically, for their argument, it is evolving into, you know, a virus that's easier to catch, but also not nearly as deadly for you. So for, you know, and I've been talking to health, you know, real doctors about this who have been
real doctors
censored on.
Now wait a minute, what's the difference between a real doctor and a fake doctor? I'm thinking of Dr. Fake Fauci, but you go ahead.
Well, I'm thinking of doctors like Jay Bhattacharya and those who have been warning against lockdowns from the beginning, and who say, "Look, if you look at COVID, you know, COVID-19 it's bad news for the elderly and people with comorbidities, but for everyone else, you know, I've had COVID twice myself, and both times it was mild. I had the flu about 5 years ago, and it knocked me on my back for like a week. So, it's very different.
I know. I've done the same.
Yeah.
And yeah. a couple final points I want to bring quickly up. You point out in your article, The Daily Signal, the FBI paid Twitter more than $3 million while the intel community was pressuring Twitter to suppress news about Hunter Biden's president's son.
Yes. So, I mean, the payment that Twitter got from the FBI, let's be clear, was not specifically for that.
No.
It was for services the FBI had done searching down things, or no, services that Twitter had done for the FBI, searching down things in their database on their platform. But, you know, it's... That just demonstrates how close of a relationship they had, where when the FBI was compensating Twitter for the work that Twitter did, that came out to $3 million. Meanwhile, the intelligence community was pushing this. So is it any wonder that the censorship of the Hunter Biden laptop story actually happened?
Yeah, perfect point. I want to thank you again, Tyler O'Neill, managing editor of The Daily Signal. We appreciate it, and I know most of us aren't surprised, but we're certainly more angered, and thanks for documenting it for us.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks, Larry.
We'll do it again. Tyler O'Neill, managing editor with The Daily Signal.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Now, interesting enough, while doing that interview with Tyler O'Neill, the CDC made an announcement. I couldn't get to it until we finished. Here's what it says. When he's telling us how Facebook was basically restricting true facts, they should be one and the same, should they? Because anybody that was reporting stories of problems with the vaccine, they were actually experiencing, they were deciding we will censor those. Well, now the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention saying a preliminary COVID-19 vaccine safety signal has been identified. It's investigating whether the bivalent Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine creates an increased risk of stroke in those 65 and older. That's right. They say 65 or older, they might have an increased risk of a stroke. I thought that we're supposed to be looking at all these and things are good. Now, they also point out that others are not showing such a safety signal. A vaccine adverse reporting system managed by the CDC and FDA says, we haven't seen an increase in these strokes following the vaccine, but now looking at data, we're going to take a closer look. You know, I go to the CDC site, and you have to keep in mind, we have something like 630 million Americans vaccinated. We got 75% or more of the population. And I'm looking at a question raised of the CDC, are there side effects from COVID vaccine long-term? The answer from CDC on their site, serious side effects that could cause a long-term health problem, you could also read into that death, are probably rare following any vaccination, including COVID-19 vaccination. The benefits of COVID-19 vaccines outweigh the known and potential risk. The CD does continue to closely monitor the safety of the COVID-19 vaccines. Wait a minute. First of all, when they say serious side effects, long-term health problem, extremely rare, including COVID-19 vaccine, we don't have any long-term health studies. We don't have any. They've only been administering them for the last 2 years. That's not long-term. Now, there was a reason to rush forward when Trump said to the manufacturers, without breaking any safety rules or endangering the public, get it out quicker than you can. Cut through the normal red tape. Well, part of that is extended testing. The vaccines came out much sooner than many thought. And in fact, Biden and VP Harris got theirs before they even took office. And I do think it saved lives, but not everyone wants it. And yes, people were reporting different issues. Heart enlargement, the lining of the heart, faintness, possible strokes. And this was not just those 65 and older. And yet they've approved it all the way down to 6 months. But now, well, they say we have suddenly seen some new information that suggests we need to have additional investigation whether there's a safety concern for a stroke in those 65 and older who received the Pfizer BioNTech COVID-19 vaccine bivalent. Do you even know what you received? You might want to check with your doctor. But, of course, if they're simply saying, well, the CDC has said everything's okay, they're just going to pass it. Well, now the CDC is saying, not necessarily true. In other words, the CDC, the one that was telling Facebook and the others, along with the White House, shut down all the information about any troubles. We got to get more people jabbed. And they continue to push that line of messaging. Know now that they are admitting there might be an issue. No kidding. I just hope it comes soon enough that no one ends up at real dire risk. But we don't have any long-term studies. But now we know they say they will do more investigation looking into some of the very complaints many in the American public have made. You know, I just saw my good friend George Norrie last night, and of course he hosts the program Coast to Coast. They often have paranormal stories and often have reports of UFOs being documented by various citizens, being reported, I should say. So I'm stealing a little bit of his thunder for his program possibly tonight or whenever he might do this one. But apparently, the latest report shows national security agencies are studying hundreds of new reports of UFOs, including that many appear to perform maneuvers that are highly advanced. That's according to the nation's top intel official, and he's the Undersecretary of Defense for Intel and Security, stating, we have not seen anything that would lead us to believe that any of the objects we have seen are of alien origin. Now, there were 510 unidentified aerial phenomena. That's what UFO is. Unidentified flying object is another phrase. They were observed in protected airspace or near sensitive facilities. 510 compiled as of August last year. That was in a report given to Congress. Of those, 366 were gathered during a preliminary assessment published in 2021. More than half of the new sightings, most coming from Navy and Air Force pilots, say what I saw had an unremarkable characteristics of what they were able to do. Well, since that, they've been able to decide that 160 plus were labeled balloons or balloon-like entities, others clutter. But there's still something like 170 sightings which appear to have demonstrated unusual flight characteristics or performance abilities. One top official said they have not uncovered any evidence that these are from somewhere else. Pardon me, from outside our orbit. But they insist we're keeping an open mind. That's what they're saying. We're going to keep an open mind. He said, we've not seen anything that would lead us to believe that any of the objects we have seen are of alien origin. What do you think? Do you really believe that these U.S. and Air Force pilots, highly trained and skilled, are reporting all the time deflated balloons or something like that? We have, of course, the Pentagon's recently established All-Domain Anomaly Resolution Office. I know, quite a name, right? It got mandated by Congress last year. and is serving as a focal point for the government-wide investigation. And the director of the All-Domain Anomaly Resolution Office says, as a physicist, I have to adhere to the scientific method, and I will follow that data and science wherever it goes. Where have I heard something like that before? Oh, yeah. Yeah, Dr. Fake. These latest reports, they still don't have the information they think they need, but they're still convinced it's not alien.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Wow, already 2023, and we're getting closer to opening Napoli Sea. Unique, exquisite, focusing on the finest, freshest seafood, lobster, crab, the best caviar, with a variety of fish specials. Napoli Sea, right next door to Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles. Easy to satisfy your seafood craving or the finest Italian food. Napoli Sea, coming soon, joining Napoli 3 in St. Charles, Town and Country, and Clayton.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
I had a conversation with the governor of Texas about him, but with Greg Abbott, where he was explaining to me what George Soros does. And it's terrifying that he donates money to a very progressive, very leftist, whether it's a DA or whatever politician, and then funds someone who's even further left than them to go against them. It seems like he funds corrosion. It's like he wants these cities to fall apart. He wants crime to flourish. It's almost like he's an evil person in a Batman movie.
Well, that's pretty good. Those are the words of Joe Rogan from his podcast, talking about how George Soros is so evil, he looks like a character in a Batman movie. Batman! Nope, this is the evil guy, not the Joker. George Soros. That's interesting, he said, in talking to Governor Greg Abbott and saying, we've seen cases where Soros will find a leftist DA and put them up to run, give them money to run, and then go try to find someone even more to the left, even more radical to run against this one. Now, maybe the more radical will win, or at least it will make the one that is radical not look so radical. It's the devil you know and the devil you don't. Is that what it comes down to? I think the devil we know in this case is George Soros. No bail, let all the criminals out, defund police, and that story and slogan still going around. And it is destroying cities, especially blue cities and blue states. So if they're looking for someone to credit and or blame, there's a thin line between them. Both lines point to George Soros. As always, thanks for watching our Rumble feed. Let others know about it. And remember our pledge, one nation under God.